Well, welcome again to Grace Believers Bible Study, and we're broadcasting over the internet. My name is Pastor Byron Wiggins, but this morning Brother Dave Barnes is going to be preaching the first and teaching the first lesson. So we're going to break about 10 minutes till 11 and come back at 11 o'clock, and so that way we'd like for you to join us wherever you may be in the entire world. And brother, come on up.
Good morning, everyone. Let me pass out and assemble behind me. And I'll leave these right up here so that some more folks can get one. Good morning. As you all know, when you're going to put together some sort of study, I always ask myself, what can I teach? What can I bring that can help people in their lives on a daily basis make a difference? Okay? And I really believe that, 100% as we all do, that our purpose in this world is not just to get a head knowledge of tons of information, but put it into the streets, make a difference, reach others for Christ, get the message out, help people understand things. So I thought I'd do a thing on effective evangelism. Now, there's lots of ways to approach it, and this is just some understandings of the basics. This is some understandings of different things to look at. But I wanted to talk about how do we get the message of the love of Christ out to the world in a way that works today. Okay? And that's what this study is all about. So let's begin at the top of the page. Once God has saved us, the most important thing we can do is tell others about Christ. Paul teaches us that it is both a great privilege and a responsibility to share the gospel. But how we can do this effectively and what really works. Now, each of us has our own style, and we'll talk about that too later on. Unfortunately, many people see evangelism as 20-minute visits from the pastor in a home filled with uncomfortable people. We all seen that before. Oh, pastor's here. He comes and he sits down. He talks for 20, 30 minutes. It's evangelism time. Okay? Now, that may, at times, have an effectivity. May be effective. But generally speaking, it is not. Okay, just some papers right there if you want to grab them. Pass it over. So we have to find out what does work. We have to find out ways that we can make it work, things that can work, okay? No one really gets a lot accomplished, and most people would be terrified to participate in this world outreach. I mean, let's have a show of hands to be honest for a minute. How many people would honestly be comfortable walking into someone's home and just presenting the Bible, the gospel? There are some of us that can do that. Other people, personality traits as such, it's not a comfortable thing, so we need to understand that. We all are members of the body of Christ, and each of us can bring to the table different ways to have outreach, different ways to affect people's lives with the message, okay? In this study, we'll look at a number of ways to be effective, to effectively meet people and tell others about Christ, and why simple approaches, acts of kindness in our actions, more than words, can have a significant impact. How many times have you had somebody do something for you out of the blue? Occasionally in your life, do you remember back to those moments? Somebody did a kindness to you. And what was the first thing that went through your mind? What's their motivation? Right? What do they want? Is it not? Okay. Is it not? I mean, like somebody does something wanted, you go, okay, what do they want from me? What's the situation? Right. And when we do things out of just pure kindness, it really throws people. It makes them think. If you say to them, you need to have this done, I just did it because, you know, it's the right thing to do. Really? Tell me more about where that comes from. You follow me? And that's kind of the stuff we're going to talk about. To begin with, you must understand what we're doing. So let's look at some verses here. You know, what we should be doing. Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 15. If someone can read that. This is Paul kind of explaining the importance of what we're trying to do here.
Read it loud when you read it, please.
Romans 10, 13 through 15.
Okay. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Great verse. Now is that Romans 10, 13 through 15?
13 through 15. Oh. I'm sorry.
Those are wonderful. No problem. That's good.
Yeah, 13 through 15.
All right, thank you.
For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call upon him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear about a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things.
Excellent. How blessed, okay, how blessed, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach peace and bring glad tidings of good things. We can all be in that position. It isn't necessarily speaking, it isn't necessarily standing in front of a group, but there's ways that you can present the message, be a preacher, so to speak, and explain the gospel. It's a privilege to share the good news of Christ. Even more, it's an important activity. How will people hear if they're not here? You follow me? The previous verse. Let's go to Romans 1, 16 and 17.
For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith.
For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. If somebody said to you, why'd you do this? Do you have an answer in the back of your head? You know, you can steal my line. I always say I'm at peace with my Creator. It's a very simple line. People go, oh, well, that's interesting. Tell me more. Or, oh, no, he's a Christian. Let me get out of here. One of the two happens. But the point is I've given them a reason. I'm at peace with my Creator. Or I've been blessed with so many things. You know, it's just a wonderful opportunity. Thank you. Whatever. Simple things. Keep them in the back of your mind. Be ready. Have an answer. Have an answer when you get a chance to do something for somebody. And that's when opportunity begins. That's when evangelism begins. When you connect with somebody, when you connect on a personal level, or a helpful level, or a loving level, things begin to change. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 through 21.
And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us a ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you, in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For we have made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made righteousness of God in him.
How many times do we realize that? How many times do we connect all these dots here in these verses? Every one of these verses is just full of incredible stuff. Reconciling himself by Jesus Christ, he had given us the ministry of reconciliation. That's our first goal. Our first goal is to help others see the message of Christ, how to be a member of the body of Christ, how to be reconciled to God. As pastors put it here many times, the justification part of it. They believe in a Jesus. They believe in a death on the cross. They believe he was the Son of God. But do they have faith in the justification for their sins? That's what our ministry is, and that's what we need to get out. And you look at these verses. Verse 19 is one of my favorite verses. To wit, that God was in Christ. Think about that a minute.
Amen.
The pain that Christ felt on the cross was shared by God. You know, talk about a personal commitment. Talk about an intimate connection to us. And that's why we have such an intimate connection to him. Okay? And he's committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now we are ambassadors for Christ. An ambassador is a proud person for their faith, their belief, for being Christ, or you're an ambassador for the U.S. You're out there and you're proud of your country. You're out there representing your country. It's the same for us. Okay? So part of the beginning of evangelism is to recognize we are an ambassador, and that is part of our life and goal. Our goal is not just to sit here every Sunday and study and study and study and study. This is how we prepare ourselves to go out that door, go into the world, and reflect the love of Christ back to the world. If we're not reflecting the love of Christ back to the world, what are we doing? Okay? Why are we even here? I mean, obviously to be saved. Obviously to get more knowledge of salvation. But if we're not doing anything other than showing up every Sunday morning, why are we here? Okay? We equipped ourselves to go out and share. That doesn't mean you have to memorize everything. It doesn't mean you can. I can pull verses off my head that I can't pull the handle. Okay? I can go, oh, here's the verse, and where's the problem? Give me a minute. Let me go check. Okay? You don't have to have world-class memory. You don't have to be super outgoing. I suggest everybody have in their Bible or in somewhere a very simple explanation of salvation. 4 or 5 verses, whatever it takes, and that's it. have that piece of paper handy so that those few times in your life, and it's not going to happen often. If you're a minister, it'll happen a lot more. But if you're just out there showing the love of Christ, rarely are you going to get a chance to really share what that means, how to be reconciled to God. But if the moment happens, you can say, just a minute, let me pull my little piece of paper out because I really want to explain this well to you. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with having that piece of paper that outlines 3 or 4 points, and maybe I'll make one up and leave it in here. We'll try to do that next couple weeks. I'll make one up and leave a little card that you can keep in your Bible. The whole point is when that opportunity comes up, you want to have confidence. You want to be an ambassador. You want to be able to do it, and a little piece of paper can help that, okay? You don't have to keep it in your mind. If you can, that's wonderful. I only have 64K memory. I'm old. My computer's not what it used to be, and I have to work with what I got, okay? I don't have a newfangled hard drive. I don't have a terabyte of memory. I've got 64K of RAM. I started out that way, and it hasn't changed. So I write everything down. It's important we do that, okay? But it's important that we can be an ambassador, and to be an ambassador, you have to have confidence. And you have confidence when you have the knowledge. And the knowledge doesn't have to be head knowledge. It can be a piece of paper folded up in your Bible so you can go to it when you need it. Okay? Don't make it complicated. Evangelism is not, it's not a complicated thing. It's not just for the pastor. It's not just for the people in front of the room. It's not just for the people in front of the big groups. It's for everybody. And equip yourself to do so, okay? Ephesians chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. Go ahead. This is a very, very interesting verse when it comes to evangelism beyond what we always see. Let's take a look at it.
For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
Is that Ephesians 3, 8, 9?
No, that's 2.
Okay, that's another great
one. That's 3, 8, 9, I'm sorry.
This is great, though. No,
that's a good verse. Very good verse.
Very good verse.
Is that why I want what we're doing here? Well, I'll read why.
All right.
But to me, who am less than the least of all saints, is grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ.
Okay. Unto me who am the least among saints is this grace given. We're given that same grace. We're given that same opportunity. We're given that same position in Christ, okay? To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Now here it becomes a unique evangelism angle, okay? When you talk to somebody and you say, do you know there's a mystery in the Bible? Most people will go, really? What are you talking about? And if you can share that with them, it's a great way to open up the message. Yeah, it's a great mystery. It's a time that we have today. And let me show you and talk about 2 or 3 verses talking about the mystery. I can't tell you how many people I have shared Bible verses where Paul talks about the mystery, and they say, I've never read that before. Or if they've read it, they've never connected the dots. You follow me? The great mystery that we have today, the parentheses, the stopping, and where we are now in the dispensation of grace, when you share that with people, it can become a great way to open up the door. Now, we're all members of the body of Christ, right? Yes.
I wanted to make a comment about what it said there. I am the least of all the saints, and the key to evangelism. I was listening to a preacher the other day that took the opposite view. In other words, his approach was that is to show what a good boy am I. In other words, I've cleaned up my life. I've done all this stuff. And I'm going to show you by my example of what a good Christian I am. And so the mindset was, you know, I'm going to show you, follow me. And people automatically, when you approach them that way, guess what's going to happen? They're going to turn you flat. That's the reason why they don't want to listen to you. They're looking at a preacher. And preachers are just, like the Bible says, every mouth would be stopped. Right here, when it says, I'm the least of the saints, you know, Paul may have said, I'm the chiefest of sinners. In other words, we've got to take a look at ourselves. In other words, we're supposed to follow the example of Paul. If you're if he was the chiefest of sinners, well, it's a dead heat. In other words, if you offend at one point, you're guilty of the whole law. So, in other words, what we're doing is taking the side of another sinner. And so you have to take the side of, like what Paul, I'm the least of the saints. I'm the least, even among sinners. He said he has the chiefest of sinners. So, in other words, if we've got that, consider other people as better than ourselves, then you're going to approach them in the right attitude.
If you
approach it from the other point of view, like I'm seeing other churches are doing, to measure up to their standard, we're going to miss the whole point. And you can't, I don't care if you preach the gospel to them, they're not going to get it. They've got to see that they're a sinner too, and that they've got to realize they're also the chiefest of sinners.
It's impossible to preach prosperity gospel or I'm better than everybody, follow me, if you truly understand what justification is.
Right.
It's impossible for you to preach that, because you understand where you are and why you're there and why you would be there forever if it wasn't for God. And that's exactly right. Those people are not preaching reconciliation and justification by what happened on the cross. They're preaching religion. You know, prosperity gospel. Follow me, you can be rich too, you can be famous, you can do this, you can do that, you can be like me. It's a very sad state. It gets a lot of people to show up, because everybody wants to be like that, as opposed to recognize how lowly and sinful and terrible we are. You follow me? It's tough for people to do that.
They're not preaching the power of God.
No, they're preaching the power of ego. Let's get people excited and get them controlling. You know, we're all members of the body of Christ. And what I want to point out here is, in a body, there are arms, there are legs, there are head, there are feet, all sorts of parts. Each of us brings a unique skill to effective evangelism. If you stop for a minute and think about yourself, each of us has the ability to do something that can pass the word on, make an impact, change someone's lives. If some of us can get up in front of a group and talk, I have no problem doing that. Give me the bigger group. You know, it's just part of our nature. Pastors back there laughing. It is what it is, okay? Give me 10,000 people. I don't care. I'll tell them all the same story. Some of us can do that. That's just a personality trait, okay? Some people can bake. Some people can do wonderful things. We're going to get into some of these activities a little later that can make a difference in people's lives, okay? There's all different things, and each of us are different parts. Not everybody speaks, thank God, okay? Some have to think. I don't do the thinking very well. I certainly don't do the crafting thing very well, okay? So it just depends. We're all members of the body of Christ, so let's talk about how we can do something with that, okay? I've got to look very closely at these verses. Are we the least of saints? Do we think of ourselves that way? We just talked about that. Do we also have a wonderful opportunity to share the gospel of Christ? All of us can be evangelical. Actions speak louder than words. Your mom and dad told you this, no. Mom said, no, actions speak louder than words. I don't care what you say, do it right, okay? Clean your room up. Whatever. Actions speak louder than words. When you show someone the love of Christ through actions, you will reach their heart. If you think about it for a minute, you will see how powerful this can be. Whether someone does something kind that you didn't expect, we look for some ulterior motive. Anyway, I'll turn it over. At the same time, if there isn't one, we are amazed and touched. It's the same way with other people. If we go out of our way to help them and do something for them, they will be touched as well. I don't care how stubborn your neighbor is, how angry he is, how much of an unhappy person he is, how miserable he is, guess what? When you take your garbage cans in, you walk over to his place and take his garbage cans in and put them up at the front of the house. Don't say a word. At some point, you do that a few times, he's going to go, what are you up to? Okay? And you're going to say, hey, I was just out here earlier and I got it done. I used to have a gentleman when I was in my 20s. He lived next door to me. He was like 87 years old, retired farmer. I was in Iowa. He would play his TV. The Price is Right, as loud as it could be. I mean, you could hear it down the neighborhood. He was just interesting old guy, 87 years old. When it snowed, if I didn't beat him out to the front yard to shovel the snow, he would do my yard too. And he was in his 80s. I mean, when it was snowing, the minute the snow happened, I'd set my alarm for 3 in the morning. I was going to beat that old guy. I did one. He was going to have a heart attack. He was going to die on my front lawn one day, shoveling my yard, okay? So we raced to get out there and do it. It was just a great old guy. We had great fellowship talking back and forth. But we would do that kind of thing. The point is, little things you do can make a big difference. My next door neighbor's not from other Stein. I've cut her lawn 2 or 3 times. She has no idea who cut her lawn. She has no idea whatsoever. It doesn't matter, okay? If she ever asks, I'll tell her about it. But in the meantime, it doesn't matter. She built a fence in the backyard. When they got them building the fence, you know, fence builders, they cut down all these trees and they just leave them. And they don't pick anything up. They just build the fence and leave. I look back and wow, limbs everywhere. We clean up the whole backyard. She has no idea. Doesn't matter. Okay, she'll never know. Doesn't matter. The point is, and if she does, and this is an opportunity to share something, you follow me? This is what God did for us. Let's take a look. 1 John 4:10-11.
Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another.
Where's the example coming from? Is it an example for ourselves, or has it been shown to us? The gifts we've been given, okay, Romans 3:25 says, whom God hath set before to be the propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. Propitiation. Do you know what that means? That doesn't mean to cover up the sins. Now think about this a minute, let it sink in. We're not covering up the sins. We're as if they never existed to begin with. As if they never existed to begin with. You know, remember when you were 17 and you did that? Remember that girl you did? No, whatever it is. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what that sin was. It doesn't matter if you desired your neighbor's toy when you were 4 years old. He had the new set of Indians and cowboys and you wanted them. It doesn't matter. It's as if they did not exist. What a motivator. You know, I mean, when you're married or in a relationship and you mess up, you forget their birthday, you do this, oh, I forgive you, I forgive you. But it's still in the back of their mind. Oh, yeah, she hasn't done flowers in like 7 years. What's the deal, okay? It's as if it did not exist. What a powerful place to be. That's the freedom we have to reach out to the world, okay? That's got to be our motivator. Let's look at Colossians 1:20-22.
And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of the flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight.
It's an interesting verse, and you go back to 20, whether there be things in earth or things in heaven. This is a total reconciliation. It eliminates nothing. It leaves nothing open. Your mind, wicked works, wicked thoughts. Everything is reconciled. Everything is done. What is communication and preaching? The word preach does not just mean a one-way verbal communication, as in a sermon or evangelistic address. It is a much broader sense. It means effectively to communicate. Effectively to communicate. The word communicate also has the root meaning in that of communing or interacting or common ground. Communicating is a common ground we create with people. And how do we communicate the love of Christ? Through some common ground, through ways we can connect with them. You cannot teach or reach people unless you have their attention. This is where action comes into play. And this is what you want to look for all the time. I pray to God that I have opportunities to touch and change someone's life. Because if I can touch and change someone's life, then I can talk to them if they want to know more. Then they can at least feel the love of Christ in some way. And if they want to know more and they're open to it and the Holy Spirit leads them, it's not me doing it, it's the Holy Spirit, then we can talk some more. You follow me? I pray that that happens. When we do things for people out of unconditional love, they begin to understand the love of Christ. It's a perfect example. The church has spent too much time looking to the pastor alone for evangelism when there are opportunities all around them. Here's some examples of servant evangelism. Doing something for somebody. These are fancy terms. I don't know. You know, people talk about this term. The point is doing something. Doing something. We had an opportunity. We went on, what's it, Milton Ghost Walk. Whatever it's called. Okay? And, Ghost Walk. That thing around the town. It's pretty interesting. Learn about the history of town at night. Who's couple last week sometime. We're sitting in this hall with like 500 people and we're waiting like 10,000 hours to do this because they keep doing the same little Halloween dance while we're waiting. And this family came in with this poor kid who's like, yeah, he's got crutches. You know, he's got two crutches. He's working his way into the room. And the parents are having to sit on the edge of the wall by the windows or whatever. And there was four of us there. And I said, let's give up our seats. Everybody in the group looked and said, oh, sure. But we all did it. You follow me? We put him in the seats, and we went and stood by the wall. Okay? Now it was an example to them. It was an example to Irma's daughter, who was with her boyfriend, of the attitude, of the look, of what needs to be done. Okay? And those opportunities to talk to them may open up because they see the love of Christ. The people of the family were really glad they had the chairs. At first, they were like, oh, no, we're fine. We said, no, we had seats. Go ahead, sit down, sit down. And the little kid was able to sit down instead of crutches. Come on, you know? But for the grace of God, how wonderful our lives are. So there's ways you can do things. Simple, simple, simple things. Cut somebody's lawn. Pay for somebody's meal. Yeah, figure out some way to help them. These are really interesting things that we've done at other churches, places I've been in the past. Soft drink giveaways, Walmart, ballparks, fairs. They got some event coming up at the local, months and days. You know, there's different things around here. There's all sorts of events. You spend a whole bunch of water. Water's what? You know, you go to the Sam's Wholesale Club, you're getting water for 20 cents a bottle, whatever it is. Get a whole bunch of it out there. You have a table, and you give away water. People go, what do you do this for? Because God's blessed us. Because we've had a wonderful life. Because we want to touch people and say, hey, you're hot, here's some water. You know? And it's just simple things, real simple things. Getting a seat to someone in need, okay? Grocery bags, helping someone at the stores. Helping someone on the airplane coming back this week. I was on an airplane coming back from Milwaukee. We're going actually on the way to Milwaukee and getting on it in Atlanta. And the guy in front of me, coming in behind me, had a cane and three bags. You know, supposed to have two, of course, you know, he had three. And he had these three bags on him and he was like this. Now he was a guy, so he had, you know, he had his confidence. And I said to him, hey, let me handle those for you. He said, oh, I get this. I said, I know you can get it. But you've got to get to these little aisles, let me help you out. He's like, okay. And so he gave me his big bag and we get to the thing. His bag was so heavy, he couldn't lift it into the overhead. I gave it back to him. He's like, what's going to happen? So I got it up there for him. I had to do it in a way, this is important to understand, I had to do it in a way that did not mess with his ego. Okay? He was a guy. Okay, women, you guys are much smarter. You guys ask for help all the time. We're like, I got this, don't worry, my arm's going to tear off, but I got this, and I'm going to get it done. Little things like that. Just show that kindness and share with people, okay? I don't want to give away. Lawn care for senior citizens or neighbors. Cut your neighbor's lawn. You want to get their attention? Cut their lawn. Oh, my God. They're going to ask you, why did you do that? You want to open a conversation with the neighbor? Cut their lawn. They can't help but ask you, what's going on? Thanks. Well, what's going on? Okay. Great way to talk about it. Daycare events, school functions, whatever. When I'm getting at the list can be going on and on and on. But find something that you can do that you are good at because you're a member of the body of Christ and you've got an arm. Or you're a leg. Or whatever it might be. Follow me? There's something you can do in your life. There's somebody in your life right now. If you think about it. If somebody you know, you don't have to give them money, you don't have to try and solve all their problems, but you could do a kindness for them in some way when you run into them in the next week and a half or whatever, and just do it. Just do it, and you'll be amazed at how that opens the door to talk about things. All these activities demonstrate the love of Christ. They're examples that can lead to a discussion of God's love in Jesus. This is just a starter. Yeah, there's obviously many more. The activities we do for others are done with a loving heart. Now, this is important. We talk about in the end times, we talk about being judged, and those that are going to burn up, and the gold, and what have you, saying the hay and stuff will burn up. If your motivation to do anything is that of self-recognition, it has no value in God's eyes. It may open a door to somebody, but it has no value in God's eyes. It is the motivation from the right place that matters. There are preachers who spent their entire careers preaching and dealt with thousands of people, but their motivation was in the wrong place. It was all about them. It was all about raising money. It was all about control. Whatever it was in the wrong place. So make sure it's done with a loving heart in the right place. Our focus is not to be recognized, but to reflect the love of and joy of God has given us. Jesus is an example of this. Here's some examples real quick. We're only going to do two of them. Let's go to Matthew chapter 8, 2 through 4.
And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And he said unto him, See that thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them.
It doesn't just, don't make a big deal of this. Do what's right. Do what's right, okay? Don't make a big deal of it. That's how our motivation needs to be, too. Opportunities, 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 opportunities. They're everywhere. And when you get a chance to do them, you do them because it's the right thing to do. It's not because you're going to get benefit from it. Okay? Mark 7. These are just examples. And again, the whole Bible can teach us about God's love, about examples, all sorts of things. Just make sure we're in the mystery. when the wonderful mystery and the dispensation of grace will be getting our marching orders for today. But Mark chapter 7, 32 through 36.
And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. And he, and looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain.
One more verse, 36. That's the important one.
That's the time.
One more verse, 36.
And he charged them that they should tell no man, but the more he charged them, so much the more, a great deal, they published it.
So, you know, the focus again, even with Jesus, and the other one you can read later, Luke 8, 49 through 56, is to make a difference. He wasn't about getting fame. He wasn't about drawing attention to himself at this point. He wanted to change that. It's the same with us. There's how many people have experienced the joy of giving? It's much better than receiving, isn't it? Especially as we age and understand the world and understand our position in. My kids always say to me, what do you want for Christmas? How about some time? You know, that's all I want. You follow me? I don't need things. I don't want things. I want time. I want quality, whatever it is. It's the same thing. When you give, the joy of giving becomes far more satisfying, far more beautiful, far more fulfilling than ever, ever, ever receiving. You know, I feel sorry for anyone who's not understood that and not got to that point in their lives. It is all about that. And when we do that, we make things different. We change lives. We change people's perspective. We change their focus. If you want to change somebody's focus, show them a kindness. It's as simple as that. A kindness will soften anybody's heart. A kindness will change somebody's perspective. You can talk to them all the time. You know, you're kind of a mean old guy. You should be nicer. No, 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 no. I can do nothing. Yes?
I wanted to make a comment, and this is really in the form of a question. Somebody give me a good answer for this. It would be helpful, because this is what I'm facing so much of the time. Whenever we're doing good works now, they want to trample it under their feet, especially corporations. Corporations are now, if you do work, you do it free, then they expect it. Not only do they expect it, they then demand it. And so I'm seeing this a lot. In other words, it's hard to do good works for people now, and that because you get kicked in the face. After one lady made a statement, she said, "No good deed goes unpunished."
Yes, yes. You see it.
In other words, the Bible says, "Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." In other words, but the thing that I want to do is I want, like the Bible says, let them see your good works that they would glorify the Father, which is in heaven. I want to make them see the good work, and so they get the right credit going in the right direction. And because they always will say, "Oh, what's in it? And what's the motivation behind this?" And they question, and they end up thinking evil. And so I'd like to turn that around, and that's really where I'm at right now. Matter of fact, I know I'm going to be facing it, and I'm really glad you're doing this. You might be just, you know, because I'm going right through what you're talking about. We have this place that I don't mind saying it's Tuesday Morning is the name of the store. And I've gone in there and I've done the work for this place, and I've done it free. It didn't cost them a dime, not a cent. And they've got this guy in there that just, let him do it. He wants to do it free.
Right.
And I think I'm going to give him any money to do that? Oh, no. But that the people in the store, they just loved it to death. But it was more for the worker, you follow what I'm saying?
Sure, sure. But just answered your question.
Yeah.
Those people.
The biggest thing, right, exactly. But it's the corporate America is ruining our country.
Oh, sure. And it's evil. The world's evil.
Yeah.
We have to work in it.
Yeah, right, exactly. And what I want to do is send a message to them.
Yeah.
And they see it.
Yeah, you can, except that the way you're going to send a message to corporate America is through the people individually. That one guy if he says, "Oh, just let him do it. I don't care. If he wants to do it for free, great." That's the guy you need to go see, and you need to send, you need to shake his hand, and you need to say something like, "I really appreciate the opportunity to share with you what a joyful life I have in Christ or in God, and how it's made a difference in my life, and now I can share that with you guys." He's going to go, "Okay, thanks. Okay."
Yeah. This is a business. We don't talk about it.
That's fine. But you can't, because you're not working for them. Okay?
Yeah.
Right. And by saying that, you may be the person. Evangelism isn't, and I think we'll get that coming up here, isn't I'm going to be the one who scores the salvation necessarily. Yeah. I may be the one who pushes them down the road. Yeah. I can't tell you how many older people I've dealt with who have said to me times, "People were so kind to me all those years, and I finally got it. You know,
yeah.
I finally got it. It took a long time. It took many, many messages." I would love to, people like that, because I deal with that too. In the television world, I deal with lots of extreme liberal people who think God is dead and it's a joke and blah, blah, blah. And I do great work for them. I get phone calls from their bosses and everything. And I always try to say, because we always have downtime. You're live on television for a while and then you're down killing, an hour between times. You reset your lights a million times. You can't do any more. You're just killing time. And those are the times I can talk to them. I can tell them about my life. I can tell them about my joy. I can tell them. You can discuss these things. And, very rarely, every once in a while, I'll find somebody who goes, "Yeah, talk to me more about that. I hear about this religious stuff, but what does it mean, really?" And I don't talk about religion. The word religion is a real negative term. I talk about a spiritual relationship with my Creator. It's a soft sell term to say, "I'm connected to God." Okay, go ahead.
In response to what Rich asked is, he said he wanted to make them see. And it's just like when you speak the word of God, it does not come back in vain.
Yeah.
Your actions won't either. You do your actions, you may not get any satisfaction here, but the fact of it is, your work won't come back in vain. Let the Holy Spirit do the work for you.
Just
leave it alone. Just do it and leave it alone.
Send them a thank you note.
Yeah.
You work your store.
Yeah.
So you have something tangible, okay? Because a tangible thing is something that's going to go, "Thank you, note, for working in my store for free. What is this?"
Yeah, that might work.
Anyway, it's so true. But you know what? Those are opportunities. And every time you deal with somebody, you're consistently giving the love of Christ out over and over and over and over and over again. You may never see it. You may, years later, I told the story about sitting next to this woman in the airplane. She's getting divorced. She was from Milton, whatever it was. We got in the plane. We flew somewhere. 5, 6, 7, 8 years later, she comes up to me in a Lowe's out of nowhere. "Hi, good to see you again. You remember me?" No. I mean, that was very kind of me. "Yeah, you look familiar," whatever. And she told me that conversation in that airplane changed her life around. She was down and out. She was depressed. She was unhappy. She was miserable. And that moment of optimism, that moment of sharing the life and God and things are better and the world can be better, turned her around. And she introduced me to her new husband, and her life was moving forward, and all sorts of great things that happened. No idea in the world that you have an impact on. Okay? So what you say, especially, I love the grumpy guys. They are a lot of fun, because you be kinder to them, and it freaks them out, okay? It makes them go crazy. But you just do little things for them. Send them a note. That'd be amazing. They'll go, "What is this?" He'll ask you next time you come in, "What is this? Hey, I'm a servant person. I love taking care of problems. I love solving problems. That's what I do. And I appreciate the opportunity. This is, there's some things going on here. It's great." Now, when he needs to hire somebody, he's probably going to call you at that point, okay? Mm-hmm. So you're going to make some business out of it someday, maybe. Or maybe not. But the whole point is, it's just wonderful. It's wonderful to do that. I've got down here, when our evangelistic message is the gospel delivered in action, the opportunity to share the message of reconciliation is greatly enhanced when we put the action with it. We can tell them all we want, but when we do something, it makes a huge difference. Show the love of Christ, the people will want to know more. I guarantee you'll have those opportunities. Have your little piece of paper ready with 3 or 4 verses so you can explain to them, because it's great. I've learned a lot from pastors just here in the last 3 weeks. A lot of people can tell me, "I know who Jesus is. I know he died on the cross. Okay? I know he was killed on a cross for my sins." But do you have a faith in that? For your reconciliation. Take them to that level. We live in the gospel belt, okay, the church belt. Everybody knows who Jesus is, largely speaking, okay? Everybody's religious to a point. But are they resting in that? You follow me? We can share that with them. We need to keep our focus on reaching the lost as our first priority. Every person is a unique place in their gradual awakening to the love of Christ. Servant evangelism draws everyone it touches to a closer and more accepting, okay, Christ, regardless of their own personal situation. Doesn't matter if you're the grumpy old guy. Doesn't matter if you're an extra neighbor who has told you there is no God. I have a client. I think I told you this, the client. Religion is a crutch. I don't need Jesus because only people that have problems need God, okay? Steve, yeah. Everybody, Steve and I, okay? I'm working on it. I'm making a film for him. I'm going to be working with Steve for the next 6, 8, 9, 10 months. Probably longer because he wants us to do some other stuff for him. So Steve's going to be on my agenda to keep working on it. He is so ardent. He's so miserable. He's so unhappy. And his life is a disaster. But we don't need Jesus because he's a grudge, okay?
Yeah.
Really interesting guy. In some cases, we only make an initial contact with people. At other times, we'll continue where someone else is left off. Either way, as we begin to do the humbling acts of service to the community, we refocus our identity. Instead of separatists who are constantly judging the world, which is what most people think Christians are, okay, we extend forgiveness, acceptance, love of God. You're not going to make a dent by talking to them only. Religion has got a bad name for a lot of people. When you got time? Okay, good. Thank you. Appreciate my timer is back to going, oh, we're down to 2 minutes. Okay, good. Appreciate that. We become valuable in the eyes of the community as we go beyond ourselves and serve through the love, and serve through our love into their hearts, and we prove ourselves worthy of their trust. Last verse. Somebody go to 2 Timothy 1, 7 through 10.
For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but the power of love and a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who had saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel.
Wonderful. Look at verse 8. And be thou therefore, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. You want to open up a lot of Christians' eyes, talk about Paul and the dispensation of grace and the great mystery. They go, really, what are you talking about? And I often say, it is the only way that will make total sense out of your Bible. And I'll say, hasn't it been confusing at times to read your Bible? Oh, yeah. I mean, if they're honest, they'll say, oh, it's been really confusing. But here's why. Now you're serving. Now you're helping them understand. They're getting a deeper knowledge. They're getting a deeper faith. Verse 9. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, not according to what we're doing here, okay? But according to his purpose and grace. Every time you meet somebody, every time you share a kindness, every time you share the love, it's not your doing, it's God's. He's purposed this from the beginning. He's given us these opportunities, okay? Which was given to us in Christ Jesus when? Before the world began. What a great place to be. I don't have to beat people over the head with the gospel. I have to reflect the love of Christ. That's my job. I get to be an ambassador. That's my job. I get to share that love every opportunity I can. That's my job. And if it has immediate effects, wonderful. But if not, it's going to move people down the line. And if we all did that, and if Christianity would get off the high horse of religion and understand their reconciliation and their humility and their position in Christ and where they're really at and how wonderful it is, and by grace, and therefore the motivation is not what can I get from God, but what can I give back to God, if they would get that right, you would transform the world.
Very good.
Because the world is looking for it, you know? And they don't do that, though. So last thing I got right here, let us never lose the focus on what we are left on the earth to do. Reflect, not just talk about the love of Christ. Effective evangelism is about reflecting effect. Let's close the word prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunities to understand these positions, understand this motivation, understand our direction, understand that this was part of the plan from before the world began. And we're placed in it. We've got a part. We're part of the body of Christ. This is our chance to make a difference in little ways. Give each of us an opportunity to do that this week. Just some way. Somebody needs some love. Somebody needs to be taken care of. Somebody needs an answer. Somebody needs a hug. Somebody needs the showing of kindness and love in some way or another. And then, if their heart is touched and they open up and ask those questions, give us the strength and the boldness and the confidence to be that ambassador and say, yeah, let me share this with you. It's amazing. It has changed my life, and let me tell you about it. It's as simple as that. Give us each that opportunity this week. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Dave. We're going to take a break, and we're going to be back at 11 o'clock.